start at the bottom of Gimel Namud Bet. It is the verse of the second class line. It says, Tana Rabbanan. Tana Rabbanan, is it Edut Rishona? Right? What is Edut Rishona? I mean, before in the previous Gemara we discussed, right, the possible Kabachomers, the possible Limudim that would go between Edut Rishona and Edut Rishona, which were rejected by the Gemara. They're rejected by the Gemara because of the Gezeres HaKotav, the Eid Ein Ba. Right? Eid Ein Ba means that by the Edut Achrona, we say you only require one aid, number one, and number two, we said ba, lo b'kinu b'stira, means that you don't need the two, if you need to aid them by kinui and stira. So that'd be the difference between them. So what is Edut Mishona? Zu Edut Stira. Edut Achrona, what's Edut Achrona? Zu Edut Tuma. Which was obvious to us at that point when we were doing the Limudim that one of them referred to, right, the either kinui or stira, which is Edut Mishona, here it says stira. Edut Achrona is to do with Tuma. Now, the Gemara is going to deal with Kamul Shir Stira. Right, so the Gemara wants to know, okay, now we know about Stira. Once we know about Stira, what is the amount of time that is considered to be secluded, considered to be Stira, that will cause, when we have Kinu and Stira, we're looking for Edim to tell us that Stira happens, how long was this seclusion put them in? So the Gemara says, the Gemara brings two braitot down. That's why I give you these sheets here. The sheets lay out the two braitot. You're going to see that the two braitot are very, very similar, but have a slight variations between them in terms of the opinions that are found in the braitot. And then the latter half, the whole umbo today, will deal with the two braitot, and then reconciling the two braitot because the opinions are different in the two braitot. So we'll start with the first braitot. It says, what is the shir stira? So the Gemara says, k'dei tum'a, k'dei bi'a, Kedei Ha'ara, Kedei Akaba Dekel, Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. So Rabbi Shmuel gives four Te'urim, four descriptions about how long Stira is. So the first one is Kedei Tuma, the amount of time it takes to, right, to perpetrate an illicit act or an act of Tashmish Mita, right? And the next line is Kedei Bia. The next one is Kedei Ha'ara. And then they have to have kafat deka, which means the amount of time it takes one to encircle a tree, a palm tree. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. The Gemara will go through each of these and explain why there's a tzrichuta for each one of these four. Why do you have to give four different, right, the show notes in order to explain it? So I'll defer until the Gemara and then we'll explain it over there. But let's do Omer, Kedei, Mzikat Kos. The amount of time it takes to, you know, dilute a cup or to properly measure the balance, titrate a cup of wine between the concentrated wine and the water that's added. Shu Omer, Kedei, Mzikoto. So it says the amount of time it takes to drink such a cup. Right, a Stam cup would be Revis. And the amount of time it takes to drink such a revis. As I Omer, Kedei Litzlo to Beitza. The amount of time it takes to fry an egg. Kiva Omer, Kedei Lukom A. Roast an egg. Kiva Omer, Kedei Lukom A. In order to, the amount of time it takes to swallow such an egg. The amount of time it takes to swallow three eggs, one after the other. Right, Rabbi Elias, Rabbi Elizabeth Ben Irmiah Omer, Kedei Likshor Gardei Nima. The amount of time it takes to reconnect strings, the amount of time it takes for the tailor to reconnect strings that have separated, either they popped or ripped or cut, and how long does it take him to reconnect those strings? Chanin Ben Pinchas Omer, Kedei Tshitoshit Yada B'toch Piha B'toch Kisein. Right, that it's the amount of time it takes for the woman to reach into her mouth and remove the something that's stuck in her teeth, to remove the that which is kept between her teeth. Palimo America, they should toast via Della Sal, in order that she can stick her hand into the basket, they told Kikak to take out a loaf of bread. Even though there's no proof that that's the measurement of time, Zeicha the Dover, we have a hint in the Psukim that the taking the loaf of bread out of the basket might have some reference to the situation. What is that? Because it says, Ki ba'ad isha zonah ad kikar lecha. Right, for a, the isha zonah until a kikar lecha, meaning that before the isha zonah gave until a loaf of bread. So look, we see the reference in the Pasuk to loaf of bread, right, in the context of Isha Zonah. So that'll be a measurement, somehow, of the Shiur Stira. So now the Gemara goes back and is going to work with the Braisa. But it says, Makohani Lamali. Why do we need all of these descriptions? Meaning, going back to Rabbi Shmuel, who gives four descriptions of the four descriptions of what the Shiur Stira is, why do we need all of these. So Gemara says, Tricha, we need all four of these. The Itana Kedei Tuma, if you just said Kedei Tuma, Havamina Kedei Tuma Be'artzuta. Have I just written Kedei Tuma, the amount of time it takes to perpetrate the act of Tashmish? I would have thought not just Kedei Tuma, the amount of time, but Kedei Tuma Be'artzuta, the amount of time it takes to perpetrate the act, but also to seduce or to encourage the woman to act in such a manner or two. Meaning that not just the act itself, but all of the prelude until that act. Kamash Malan, that's what the next thing says, Kedei Bia, the amount of time it takes to actually have the act of Tashmish, and not all that the preludes are looking at, you know, is leading up to the act of Tashmish. Pitana Kedei Bia, if I had just written simply Bia, Havamina Kedei Gemar Bia, the amount of time it takes to complete a full Tashmish. Kamash Malan, Kedei Ha'ara, right, it's the only amount of time to do Ha'ara, which is, the Gemara says, is the requirement to be over any of these Surah Arayot in the Torah. You only have to do Kedei Ha'ara, which is the, just the penetration of the man into the woman, and that'll be sufficient to be over in this case. The Ishmina Kedei Ha'ara, Havmina Kedei Ha'ara, Ve'artuta. Had it just written Ha'ara, I would have thought again, they meant not just Ha'ara, the actual act of Ha'ara, but also that which led up to it, the prelude to it. That's why I went back and said Kedei Tuma. So it used these three items of Kedei Tuma, Kedei Bia, Kedei Ha'ara to teach us these different items, that it's not simply, if you had written any one of these single items by themselves, it would not have been sufficient, because you would have thought not just what the conclusion is, which is the amount of time to perform Ha'ara and Ha'ara alone, because if you had written any one of the other items, you might have thought that it included the prelude time, or it included a Gemar Bia, or it included all the Artsuta. So we have all three of these to come and narrow down the scope of time that we're talking about here, and Rashi spends time on this. Rashi spends a lot of time on explaining why each one is a Tzrichus over here. Now, the Gemara says, V'kamo. Alright, so now we have these three. What are these add up to? What is the amount of time? So, Kedei Ha'ara, Kedei Ha'kabadega. What is that amount of time? That's the amount of time it takes to encircle a palm tree. And why didn't he just write that? Rabbi Shmuel could have just written Kedei Ha'kabadega. The amount of time it takes to round the tree. So, Rashi says, the Bible of the Frusha Easter Steer Mishumai. He has to explain why, or what the context in which we're talking about is. He could have simply given you the shear of encircling the deckel. But now he explains to you why is it that encircling the deckel is the amount of time? Because it's the shear hara, right? That's what it is. He's explained to you what is the amount of time of stira. And once he's giving you the background as to what he's trying to get to, then he gives you the actual time about what it is. Now, Verimini, this presents the problem, which is that we have another brisa. That's what you have in your sheet here. You had the first brisa. You follow along, you'll see that the second brisa basically disagrees with the first brisa. The nistira, it says the nistira, v'kama shir stira. How much is the shir stira? How long does it take to, right, have shir stira? Lo shamu. Lo shamanu, we don't know. Shomer, v'hi nitzme'ah. So afterwards it says, right, v'hi nistira, v'hi nitzme'ah, right, that she was secluded. And then in that seclusion, what happened? The nistira, v'hi nitzme'ah. So that sheds light on what the nistira is. The nistira is v'hi nitzme'ah. Right? V'havi omer, k'dei tumah. Kedei Bia, Kedei Ha'ara, Kedei Chazarat Dekel. Right, so the amount of time of Tumah, Bia and Ha'ara, which were found in Rabbi Shmuel's opinion in the first Braisa, Tivrei, Rabbi Eliezer. So now all of a sudden, that was the statement of Rabbi Shmuel in the first Mishnah, now becomes the statement of Rabbi Eliezer in the second Braisa. Then, Rabbi Yeshua says, Kedei Mizigat Kos, the amount of time it takes to, what? To titrate a cup, to mix the cup and to properly have the measurement between the water and the wine. So here in this brisa he says, G'day, Mizigat Kos, what did Rabbi Yeshua say in the first brisa? In the first brisa, Rabbi, that was the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Here it's the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua in the first brisa said, G'day, Lishtoto, the amount of time it took to drink the cup. Benazah, America Daily Shtoto. Now over here, Benazah is the one who says the amount of time to drink it. Whereas in the first brisa, Benazah said what? Kedei Litzlot Beita, the amount of time it takes to roast an egg. Rabbi Kiva, America Day Litzlot Beita. Now Rabbi Kiva is of the opinion what? That time takes to roast an egg. Whereas in the first brisa, he said it was the amount of time to swallow an egg. Rabbi Yehuda ben Pater, America Daily Gom'ap. And over here, Rabbi Yehuda ben Pater is the amount of time it took to swallow an egg. Right, and in the first brisa, he said the amount of time it took to 2, swallow 3 eggs. Right, so you have that lined up. I lined it up for you in the sheets, the rows between each of the opinions. You can see that between the two brightos, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Ben Azir, Rabbi Kiva, right, have a stira, which the Gemara is going to have to deal with now. Now, first Gemara says, all right, let's try to deal with the first issue, which is Rabbi Lezer, in the second verse, says the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. The only difference is the amount of time it ends up. It says, Kedei Tuma, Kedei Bia, and Kedei Hara. Then he, at the end, he gives Kama Shior. What is that Shior? So Rabbi Shmuel, in the first verse, says that is Kedei Hakafa Deko, the amount of time it takes to encircle a Deko. The second verse, so Rabbi Lezer says, the end, Kedei Chazarat Deko. So what is Chazarat Deko? Is that the same thing as Hakafa Deko or something different? I would have thought that, or have a meaning that they're the same. I mean, this Rabbi Lezer's opinion in the second brisa is identical to Rabbi Shua's opinion in the first brisa. And Hakafat Dekel and Chazarat Dekel are synonymous. They're the same amount of time. They both mean to encircle the palm tree. Gemara says, well, can that really be? In the first brisa, who was the author of the opinion of Hakafa Dekel? Who's the author of the opinion of Hakafa Dekel in the first brisa? That is Rabbi Yishmael. Upolig Rabbi Elazar L.A. And Rabbi Elazar argues on him in the first brisa. Right? In the first brisa, Rabbi Elazar says it's Kedei Mizigat Kos. And yet, Hakama Rabbi Elazar, over here Rabbi Elazar has the same opinion as Rabbi Yishmael, except for Chazara Dekel versus Hakafa Dekel. So he says Kedei Chazara Dekel. So it must be what? That Rabbi Elazar, Chazara Dekel is different than Hakafa Dekel. Because if Rabbi Shua was of the opinion of Hakafa Dekel in the first brisa, and Rabbi Elazar argued on that, then in the second brisa, Rabbi Elazar brings the exact same lashon as Rabbi Yishmael from the first brisa, and that says Kedei Chazara Dekel, must mean that it's a different measurement of time. Because otherwise, why would he argue with him in the first brisa? So Amar Abaye, there is a difference. Hakafa Beregel, Chazara Beruach. The Hakafa Beregel refers to encircling the Dekel on foot. It means that someone walks around the Dekel. That's the amount of time we're measuring here, the amount of time it takes to encircle a Dekel. Chazara Beruach. Chazara is not referring to encircling the Dekel, but the amount of time it takes for the wind when it blows a palm tree in a direction for the palm tree to recoil, right, to come back to its original position. How long does that take? That's the amount of time here. So Pari Ravashi, Chazara Beruach, Kehekhi, the Azil Hadar Ati. Oh, Dimokekadazavati Vahadar Koi. When we talk about when a wind moves a tree, right, what does it do? It first goes in one direction, then it recoils to the other direction, and then only then will end up in the center, right, stationary again. So when we talk about the wind blowing, it is the amount of time it takes for the wind to blow the palm tree, then recoil in the other direction, that's it. Or the amount of time it takes for the third movement to come back to the stationary position. Is that the amount of time? Obviously, by the Kavadukti, it's a teku. Gemara leaves that as a right, teku, it doesn't know. Okay, now, Gemara is going to try to reconcile the brightos. And that's why the chart will be helpful here. Is as the Gemara reconciles the brightos, you'll see that why it is that they went this direction and why they picked these opinions. So, Hatamamar, right in the first place, it says, Rabbi Elazar's opinion is, Kedei Mizigat Kos. Hoko, in this price, he says, Kedei Chazara Tekel. So, if you see that in the second line, in the chart, you can see that Rabbi Lezer in the first brisa says Kedei Mizigat Kos, yet in the second brisa he says Kedei Chazarat Dekel. So he has two different opinions. What's the Gemara going to do? What's the easy solution? EDB the Chet Shi'urahu. So the solution is what? Those are the same Shi'ur. Mizigat Kos and Chazarat Dekel take the same amount of time. So why don't we say that? You can say that all the way through, right? Even though we have differences of opinion, you can look through the list that they all have. Why did you say Chet Shi'urahu? Each one of them is saying a Chet Shi'ur. Because that's not going to work. Why? We're going to see in a second. Rabbi Yeshua Kedei Lishtoto. Right, so on the third line of the chart, you see that Rabbi Yeshua Meir says in the first brisa, the amount of time it takes to drink the cup of wine. Hoch, over here, he says what? Kedei Mizigat Kos, the amount of time to titrate, to make the cup of wine. So now, what would you have thought? What would you have thought? Here, Chada Shiurahu, make it into one Shiur. Why can't you do that? Why can't you make it into one Shiur? Because if you say that Mizigat Kos and Lishtoto are the same Shiur, then what ends up happening to Rabbi Yeshua's opinion? He becomes identical to Rabbi Eliezer. Because Rabbi Eliezer had, what was Rabbi Eliezer's opinion? Right, he says, Kedei Mizigat Kos and Kedei Chazara Dekel. We made that into one Chazara Shiurah. So now, if we say that Mizigat Kos and Shtiat Kos are also one Shiur, then what's going to happen? The Shtiat Kos, that means that Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer don't disagree. Why do Rabbi Elazar have a separate opinion from Rabbi Yeshua than in the first Braisa, if they all agree that the transitive property, if Shtia equals Masiga, and Masiga equals Chazarat Deka, there's no difference between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Elazar. So the fact that there is a difference between them makes imply that that cannot be the answer for the second, or the third opinion, the third opinion here of Rabbi Yeshua, which is what? So now what does the Gemara do? Eimak Adilim Zog Vili Shtot. So in the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, the Gemara says no. That, what, if it must be what? That it's the amount of time, that you can see in the third column over there, amount of time that I highlighted, because it leans over the least dose. The amount of time it takes to titrate the cup, to make the cup of wine, and to drink it. To mix the cup of wine and to drink it. So that's how we solve that one. But let me eat the meeting, catch you, Rahu. This is what we discussed. Why don't we say that there's one shiur? In pain, I know Rabbi Eliezer. That is, that would turn out to be the same opinion as Rabbi Eliezer, as we just explained. It also, we'll see in a second, would turn out to be also the same opinion as Ben Azai, because we're going to solve the next opinion by saying Kaddish Yuru, and again it would also turn out that Ben Azai and Rabbi Yeshua would have the same opinion, and Tosfos asked that a number of times here on the daf, and it always says that the Gemara just references the previous opinion in the Braisa. Alright, now, Atamar Mar Ben Azai, Kedeli Tzvot Beitza. So if you look in the fourth row of the Braisa, it says what Ben Azai says, Kedeli Tzvot Beitza, the amount of time it takes to roast an egg. Hachba, in the second Braisa, Amar Kedeli Shitoto, the amount of time it takes to drink a cup of wine. So how are we going to solve that? Idi v'idi, chadshiu rohu. That's one shear. So if you look in the fourth row of our chart here, you'll see Ben Azai says, Litzvot Beitza, and Lishdoto, idi v'idi, chadshiu rohu. That is one shear. That is one shear. So Litzvot Beitza and Lishdoto will be one shear. And that's also why Rabbi Yeshua couldn't have been of the opinion that what? That Lishdoto and Zigat Kosh are what? One item. Because if they're one item, then Ben Azai and Rabbi Yeshua wouldn't be disagreeing. Because Lishtoto and Mezigat Kosh would be the same amount of time, and then Ben Azai would be the same as the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua. So that's what we have. Now we're going to go on to the Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Hatam Amar Rabbi Akiva Kedelikum Ah. The amount of time it takes to swallow the egg. Haka Amar Kedelik Tzvot Beitza. In our brace, the second brace, it says the amount of time to roast the egg. So Ema Kedelik Tzvot Beitza Ulikum Ah. So how are we going to solve Rabbi Akiva? We're going to solve Rabbi Akiva saying the amount of time it takes to roast the egg and swallow it. So now the Gemara is going to say, Vilema, so try to solve Rabbi Akiva's opinion, the Kachiru, say that it's one opinion, in Cain, Haidel Ben Azai. If you do that, then Rabbi Akiva's going to be exactly Lem Ben Azai, because he's going to say the amount of time it takes to roast and the time it takes to drink an egg is the same. If that's the same, then in the Braisa, the same, then we've just said that slots, roasting an egg and drinking a cup of wine are the same shiur. That means that Rabbi Akiva and Ben Azai don't disagree anymore, because everything is one big shiur. So what you're seeing now is that when the Braisa, we had Stirot and the two Braisos, but the Gemara is doing this, every other one, the Braisa is solving. The first one they'll say is one shiur, the next one the Gemara is going to combine the shiurim to make it into a single shiur, then the next one will say Chadash Shiuru, and the next one will combine it. That's what we've done so far. Rabbi Elazar, we said it was Chadash Shiuru. Rabbi Yeshua, we said, no, it's a matter of time, because they didn't see us Dili Shoto. Ben Azai, we said it's Chadash Shiuru. And then Rabbi Akiva, again, we said is Kedei Litzlov Beita Udagoma. And the matter of time, it takes to roast the egg and to swallow it.
Why can't we, why are we forced to say that these tonight are arguing with each other?
Because why would they have different opinions in the Braisa? I mean, that they could have all said the same.
They're saying, okay, you can use Timex stopwatch. This one's saying, okay, you know what, an Omega one also works.
Right, it will sound like that, to be honest with you. In the top of the Dalai Lama, you're going to see that it might be that they were giving personal shiurim. But the fact that we have two Braitotes, right, that have their opinions different in the Braitotes, makes it sound like they had specific opinions about what it was that the shiur was. I mean, that had it been that they had the exact same opinions in the two Braitotes, maybe you could suggest that. But the fact that they argue in two different Braitotes with two different shiurim sounds like, right, they're giving, and they adopt the other person's opinion, it sounds like they're giving definitive opinions about what it is, and they're disagreeing with the previous opinion. Again, if the Braitha had been identical, I think you could have said that. Or you had one Braitha, I think you could have argued what you said. The problem is that you have two Braithas, and in the Braitha, they're taking on different opinions in the Braitha, and it's clear that they're still arguing with the other person who has their opinion from the first Braitha. So why would, if that person has their opinion from the first Braitha, let them just say, why would they argue with them? Just say, or they could say, oh, or something like that. Why are they giving, they're making a statement which is a new opinion. A statement of a new opinion implies that they're arguing with the previous panel because of the other Braitha. Alright. Rabbi Yehuda ben Peteret, daily Gmoash, Losh Beitzim. Alright, Rabbi Yehuda ben Peteret says the amount of time it takes to swallow three eggs. That is in our first Braitha. Hachah, in our second Braitha, daily Gomah. then swallow one egg. This is going to be hard to reconcile. Swallowing one egg and three eggs obviously are not kadashiruhu, number one. And number two is you can't say that it's a combination of the two. You can't say, oh, it's swallowing one and three eggs, right? Because the other opinions had at least two actions that were taken. Here, it's the same action, so what are you going to do? So where it says, Dvarav to Rabbi Akiva, kama. He's saying it in the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Dekamar misharim b'tzli'ah u'b'gmiyah. Right, that Rabbi Akiva now, according to our solution, says what? That it was the amount of time it takes to roast an egg and to swallow an egg. Because in the first price he said to swallow an egg, second price he said to roast an egg. So the Gemara explained, what was the solution to that? Amount of time it takes to roast the egg and swallow it. So Gemara says, he says back to him, Rabbi Yehuda ben Teres says to Rabbi Akiva, emashur gmiyah l'chuda. Why did you switch to roasting in order to have what an opinion that is both roasting and swallowing? You could have expressed your opinion all with swallowing. Why did you have to say it's the amount of time it takes to roast an egg plus swallow an egg? You could have just expressed the whole thing as swallowing three eggs. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Teres again, they have Rabbi Yehuda ben Teres is not coming to say to about himself three swallow three eggs. He's just saying to you, Rabbi Akiva, who expressed it in swallowing eggs as part of your explanation, why did you do it as roasting an egg plus swallowing an egg? You could have just expressed it all in one action, which is the swallowing of eggs. Just swallowing three eggs is equivalent to the amount of time it takes to roast an egg and to swallow an egg. It's not that Rabbi Yehuda ben Teres has that opinion, but rather he was chastising or saying to Rabbi Akiva, just use one action instead of using multiple actions to express your amount of time.
So what is his opinion?
Right. His name is Gedela Goma, swallow one egg. That's his opinion on the second price. So his opinion of the three eggs is just the response to Rabbi Akiva. In the first price, it was just explaining to Rabbi Akiva, you could express it all in the Goma, whereas his opinion sounds to be like Gedela Goma. Sounds like just you have to swallow an egg. Okay. So now the last three opinions we had in the first price do not appear in this second price. So that's what we have here. Now that we're going to discuss each of these three of these opinions, we're going to have someone present Ravashi is going to question on each of these opinions. What exactly is the opinion? And the Gemara is going to leave it with Teku. Each one of these, we have three sets of these Tekus. Now the Gemara says, that time takes for the tailor to reconnect the strings. By Ravashi, the Merchak or the Mekarev? Right? The Merchak or the Mekarev? Are they close by? The strings, how far apart are these strings that the tailor has to reconnect? It don't make a difference how long it takes the tailor, depending on how far away these strings are from each other, or how much work he has to do to reconnect the strings. Where it says, Teiko, we don't know. Next one, Chanim Bar Pilchas Amer Kadesh.
It's connecting two strings in an Ariga.
Right, along in a woven situation, right? He has to either they popped, and now he wants to reset them, right? He wants to restring them or reset them. So the time that's how the Gemara in Shabbos describes the malacha of kshira. Exactly that word. All right. So now from Sika. Right now, Chanim ben Pichos Omer Kedetis Toshi Diadela Tochpia Itol Kisein. So he said it was the amount of time it takes for her to remove something stuck between her teeth. How stuck is it in her teeth? Is it loosely in her teeth and it just pull and it comes out? Or is it wedged in her teeth and therefore it's going to take time to take it out? So that's a different amount of time. When I say it's teku, again, we don't know. The amount of time it takes to reach into the basket to take out a loaf of bread. So by Ravashi, right, Dimahadik. Or the Lamahadik. Is it tightly squeezed into the basket or loosely in the basket? Meaning that it's easy to take it out, or do you have to wedge it out or grab it out from amongst the other loaves of bread? Now, or Bakarata Olatika. Is it fresh bread, hot bread, which kind of pulls apart as you're lifting it up, it doesn't come away so easily? Or is it already old bread, meaning that it's already hard in the bread and when you pick it up it comes out in one shot? What? Right. Oh, I'm sorry. Right. Rashi points out. I'm sorry. That's the next one. But Chamima Ukarira, Rashi points out, is it Sal Yashan, which is smooth already, that all the splinters of the Tankekiyah Kedalia, that is splinters in it. As you pull it out, it gets caught on the splinters as you're pulling it out of the loose pieces. An old basket, which has already been smoothed out, which it then doesn't get caught in. Sorry, I explained Kurira Chamima, which is the next question. Hot or cold? Is it a hot or cold? Hot or cold loaf of bread, which will depend if it falls apart as you're pulling it out, or is it hardened already where it comes together? Is it made out of wheat or barley? Right, that wheat bread is smoother and therefore it comes out more easily, whereas barley bread is much more coarse. and therefore it would get caught as you're pulling it out of the basket. For your kikha, bakusha, is it soft bread or hard bread? Again, soft bread would be harder to pull out versus hard bread. Take all these questions of Ravashi, we leave in a teku. And with that, we'll leave the Bryce, or explaining those Bryces behind. And now the Gemara is just going to challenge Ben Azai's opinion in the Bryce. So again, just to see, that's what we have the charter. You can see quickly that we had a list of opinions. Right, these opinions all, right, we saw that they were off by one. The Gemara goes to resolve the things by being off by one. Alternatively, each one, and the first one is Chavach Shiurahu, that's one Shiur, and then the alternative opinion, it combines the two Shiurim in order to create a Shiur. Obviously, you can't say Chavach Shiurahu, because otherwise you'd end up with everyone having the same opinion, right? And the fact that they don't have the same opinion implies that they are disagreeing. And then the last three, which were only found in the first place, were actually posed questions about the duration of that time. How much time or how much duration was there? And the Gemara left all of those in Teiku. That's what we see in the last three opinions. And Palimo. Tosfos does ask, why does Rav Ashi not query the previous opinions? Like how big a dekel was it that he walked around? Or how big an egg did he have to swallow? Because those are the same questions over here. Tosfos says that Stam dekel must be, like they're talking about a Benoni, it must be a middle of the range dekel. And an egg, we know in general, is a chicken egg throughout Shas. Whenever the Gemara says an egg, right, the like in Shabbos throughout the Shir, Shabbos, it always says Kedol, Beitza, Kalua, Shabbat Beitzim, right? It's always talking about a chicken egg, so he says those are standard Shurim, which then Rav Ashi didn't need to explain about that. Whereas on these last three opinions, which were not your ordinary type of explanation, there he needed to give more explanation. Right now, a very interesting Gemara comes up, which is Ben Azai. Ben Azai was of the opinion, right, which he had an opinion in our Gemara, Kedol Beitza, or Lushtoto. And the Gemara said that was Chadash Yiruhu. So now the Gemara says, Amar Yitzchak Far Yosef, Amar Yochum Kol Echab Echab Ba'atz Moshir. That each of the Chachamim, I guess, did a time trial. And this is the amount of time that they came out with. I mean, that sounds a little bit like what you were suggesting to me, that maybe their opinions are not necessarily different, because they each measured in their, right, their own experience, that was the measurement they came out with. So I don't know if that statement of Yosef Yochum comes to imply they all have, it's all one Shior, but this is their personal timing mechanism, that's how they measured it, or they're saying that each of them had different timing, and that different timing is expressed in the way they measured the, right, measured the Bia.
The question seems like the letter,
right, I would say that it is the latter, only because the Gemara went out of its way not to explain that they're Chadash Yiru, who went to explain against Svi's opinion that they're all one, went against that and said, no, they're all different opinions, which would imply the latter explanation which I gave, which is there is Machlokas here. Right, again, but you could take this opinion and then say there is the Machlokas.
The follow-up question is, it's not even...
Right, so now, right, Ba'ika Ben Azai. So now this is an important question. What about Ben Azai? Ben Azai has an opinion here. Yes, Ben Azai is a problematic character. Why is Ben Azai a problematic character? Because there are two Gemaras. The Gemara is in Sivos, and the Gemara in Yevamos that deal with Ben Azai. I'll read you the Gemara in Sivos first, just quickly. Gemara in Sivos, they actually fall out on Samach Kimmel. They both fall out on Samach Kimmel. One's on Samach Kimmel, I'm an Aleph in Sivos. The other one's on Samach Kimmel, I'm in Beis in Yevamos. The Gemara in Samach Kimmel, I'm an Aleph in, it's an easy way to remember, by the way, it's the stories of Rabbi Akiva are around there. Both of them are around there in the Samachs in Yevamos and Sivos over there. It's the story of Rabbi Akiva and Kabbalah Sabua. Right, what happens to both the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva here in Sivos, and what happens with Kabbalah Sabua, right, that his wife waited for him all these years, and then he comes back, the whole story of Rabbi Akiva and Rachel. The end of the story, it says an interesting line here, right, it says, after, Rati to Rabbi Akiva, the daughter of Rabbi Akiva, Apule to Ben Azai Hachi. Daughter of Rabbi Akiva did the same thing that her mother did for Rabbi Akiva, she did for Ben Azai. What's the implication of that? That she was married to Ben Azai. Basically, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. That basically expression, right? That the you is the you, but the Rachela, right? The you comes after the you. That daughter looks like the mother. Daughter acts like the mother. Right? That Ben Azai with his daughter of Rabbi Akiva had the same experience or did the same thing that Rachel had done for Rabbi Akiva. So the implication of this Gemara was that Ben Azai was married to her. Now, which would chime well with our Gemara. Our Gemara says that Ben Azai had personal experience, and from his personal experience, he did what? He was able then to discern how long the Bia was. The problem comes up with the Gemara in Yevamos. Gemara in Yevamos, some of the base says this. I'll just quote you. The Gemara says, whoever does not whoever doesn't involve, right, in appropriation, Gilu Shofif Dama, right? That it is, here they have a list of Tanaim that go through what they, someone does not procreate, what the negative aspects of not procreating are. Benazai has an opinion over here. Benazai Omer, Gilu Shofif Dama Ma'ita Dmut. It's like you're killing and you're reducing the image of Hashem in this world. So Shinamar Batem Pruvu, right? So because it says in the Pasuk, right, Atem Pruvu Miluat Ta'aretz, that you should go out and I'm sorry. Right, it says that Hashem created man in the image of God. Right, then you go out and procreate. So now the people say, listen to this. A great line here. Amru lo the Ben Azai. They say to Ben Azai, Yesh Naya Doresh Benay Mekayim. Some people make great drushas and they also follow their drushas. Some people do the mitzvot, do the right thing, but they don't know how to explain it. They don't know how to give a drusha. Bata, and you, Naya Doresh, give great drushas, but don't do it. Why? So, what's the implication here? That Ben Azai did not perform Peru Rabu. So Amru Ben Azai, Umaaseh, what can I do? Shinafshi Chashka B'Torah. He says that my heart has been grabbed by Torah. I've married the Torah. Other people can take care of, right, procreating. But I'm Torah Kula, and therefore I can't procreate. I can't be involved in the mundane, in that sense, because I am married to Torah. What's the implication of that, Gemara? That Ben Azai was not married, or he didn't have a wife in that case.
He got married. He went just like Rabbi Akiva, Rachel Basta Rachela.
Right.
So he went off and he learned.
Okay. So very good. All right. So that's the solution, right? There are a number of solutions. Our Gemara is going to give a couple of solutions. Tosos in both places asked the question. Both in Subos and Yavamos asked the question. It says what? That here I'll read you the Tosos here in Yavamos. He says, "Avagav the mashma perik apol pi." That's in Subos, right? There's another bito of Rabbi Akiva. He married the daughter of Rabbi Akiva. Come out and brought the show of Akiva to lay the benase. Haki ha'amar perik kamasota the nasa the girish. But he married her and then he divorced her, right? So that's the solution in the Gemara. The Tosos brings here in the Gemara in Yavamos. How do we reconcile? We reconcile by saying that he married her and then he divorced her, he left her. How does he explain it in Yavamot? In Shuvos, he says like this, Bratidu Akiva, Bimtomra Habaper Kamat Sota Parich Vaika Ben Azai, the little Nosiv. Sounds like the Gemara here is going to ask a question from Yavamot, that Ben Azai didn't get married. According to the Lashon, the Gemara's going to give an answer here that he got married and then left her. That's the answer that you gave to me. Basically, he got married to her and then he left her. Either he divorced her or he left her. No problem. I have to shop here. They show her to Apokabat Kamarhok and the Abdahok and the Ben Azai become Kombonosa, Elabi Rusin. This gives another solution over here, that he got engaged to her but never married her. That this, and it's actually true of the Gemara in general, the Gemara over here talks about they arranged many marriages, and for the marriage, they arranged how long the person who was getting married would go away and marry before the marriage would be consummated. Right, they were negotiating. Part of the negotiation was how long that this Dachshund could go away and learn before he'd have to actually consummate the marriage. So it's over here. How long did Ben Azai have before he would have to consummate the Arusin? Was that he went like Rabbi Akiva, she let him go. The only problem was he never came back. Right, he actually never came back to finish off the marriage. He only had Arusin. Right, in that context, let's read our Gemara now. Then the Gemara says, right, Ben Azai, the Lonosis. So how can it be that this was a test, right, by Bashetach? Right, it was a real-time test. Had it been as a test, because he was never married. Right? The Lonasiv, Ibezim, and Nosiv, Uperish. So that's Rahava. Right? That's the answer Tosfos gives in Yavamos. But then he got married, and then he left her. Right? He either separated from her, meant that he went off the Lord and never came back, or he separated from her, he got divorced from her. Ibezim, Mirabish, Mele. No, he didn't have personal experience. He got this bit, Misora. Right? Ibezim, Misora, Shimli, Reyav. That Sura Shemle Rav means that those that are close to Hashem can have discern facts that are usually needed to be done by, you know, experience, that Hashem devolves or gives over his secrets to those that are close to him, even though they don't have personal experience. The three possibilities of what the answer is for Ben Azai over here, but here, see clearly here, the Gemara is of the opinion that Ben Azai did not get married. And that's why Tosfos in the other two Gemaras is trying to reconcile the fact that Ben Azai either wasn't married, because the Gemara wasn't married like the Gemara in Yavama says, which reconciles the Gemara well, but Subos presents the problem, which is that Ben Azai married the daughter of Rachel.
Ben Azai was a
Rabbi Akiva, right, which is very interesting. But I thought you were going to ask, which is the difficulty, that Rabbi Akiva is his Rebbe, and Rabbi Akiva has an opinion in the Brisa. So if you got it from his Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva had a different opinion than Ben Hazai. So what exactly did he get from his Rebbe? So you have to say that he had other Rebbeim besides Rabbi Akiva, but otherwise it's hard to understand. What do you mean? He got it from Akiva, now he has a different opinion than Rabbi Akiva, right?
It doesn't make sense to get it from someone else. I just someone else, usually, right?
Right, you say the name of the person that says it. Right. It makes sense according to the one that says the two braces that are off by one, which is that Ben Hazai says in the first brace, Kedevli Tzlo Beta, and Rabbi Akiva says in the second brace, Kedevli Tzlo Beta, they actually have the same opinion. And the, you know, based on the braces being off, they actually have the same opinion, it would work out. But that's not the way the Gemara reconciled the braces, so then it doesn't work out in the end that Ben Hazai is talking to see if they say that Ben Hazai had other Rebbeim, so and that he had a, or Tzlo Shem Nereyav, or the other two opinions here about what was. Alright, Darash Rabbi Avira. Zimin Amalabishmi Rabbi Ami, Zimin Amalabishmi Rabbi Asi. Sometimes you say over the name of Rabbi Ami, sometimes the name of Asi. Kol Ochel Lechem Below Nitzilas Adayim. Anybody who eats bread without washing, Kilo Baal Isha Zonah. So if he, right, is engaged with an Isha Zonah, Shneamar, because again, the puzzle that we quoted before, Kibiyad Isha Zonah Ad Kikar Lechem. Right, for a, Isha Zonah, they would give over the loaf of bread. So you see that there's a drawing, a parallel between a loaf of bread, right, and a Isha Zonah. So Marava, no, this pasuk doesn't read right the point to the way that you're interpreting it. You're interpreting it because of Kikar Lechem, Ad Kikar Lechem, because of Kikar Lechem, therefore it's Isha Zonah. Then the Ba'ad and the Ad are backwards. And so you see, Ki Ad Isha Zonah, Ba'ad Kikar Lechem, because the Ba'ad Kikar Lechem causes the, or is the action like the Ad Isha Zonah. The way our price, the way the pasuk reads, is the other way around. Kiba ad ishanazah, because of the ishanazah, ad kikar lechem, because it's held a loaf of bread. Say, haba ad ishazonah, ad kikar lechem, bad kikar lechem, ad ishazonah, mi bailei. Should have read it the other way around. The ba'ad and ad should be switched around. Elamar Rabba called it ba'ad ishazonah, the zilkum vacation, the kikar lechem. So Rabbi says, no, you have to darshan it that the problem here is not the kikar lechem, but the ishazonah. That means anyone who engages with an ishazonah in the end ends up in, which sounds like poverty, right? Ends up in poverty and needs to go around to get the Kikar Lechem, to beg for Kikar Lechem. And that will fill in, again, you'll see in a second, to the next line in the Gemara. Amar of Zikr, Amar of Elazar, Kol Mzazel, B'tiyah Sidayim, Nekarim, and all that. Anybody who is Mzazel and B'tiyah Sidayim will be removed from the world. What does that mean, to be removed from the world? So the way the Rashi says Nekarim, and all that is that it's according to the basic terms that it says, Kul Ugar al Dibre Chachamim Chayim Misa. Whoever violates the words of Chachamim, till Sidayim is only a Din Dirabbanan. Right? The Din Dirabbanan is a Strach Tumah. Because of Shrak Shuma, we have a requirement of Dindarabanan to wash our hands before eating. So this person's violating Dindarabanan. What do we know about a person who violates Dindarabanan? Right? That Koretz Kedi Yishachenu Nachash, right? That person who breaks the gates set up by the Chachamim, should be bitten by a snake. So Rashi says this is in that context, that he violates Dindarabanan, therefore he'll be Nekar Min Ha'olam.
It's not just that he violates the other, you're like verses in Zazel, Shalchel Tamid, all of these nine. It's not like a one time religion, but it's like,
very good, yeah.
Like disregarding, you know, the rabbinic.
Zazel, right. He denigrates, he does not.
Doesn't take it seriously.
At all. Right. So now, that's Rashi's opinion. Tosus jumps on Rashi's opinion for a number of reasons, one of which is, well, why pick Tehillat Yedaim versus any other Din Darabonan? Rashi says this is just the global Din Darabonan, that if you violate the Din Darabonan, right, then you're in trouble. Then why pick Tehillat Yedaim versus any other Din Darabonan? That's one thing that Tosfos says. Another thing Tosfos says is that we find in other places that Shloshah Dvarim may be in Adam Ledian Yud. There are three things that make a person poor. One of them is the Mizalzel Ben Tehillat Yedaim. That's kind of right in the Gemara and Shabbos. So now, Tosfos explains here, Nekarmin Olam, not to mean to die, or Misa like Rashi does, but Nekarmin Olam means that he becomes poor. And the poor is the equivalent, Anius is the equivalent, Anius to Misa, right? She's like an Anius. So the Misa, or the Nekarmin Olam here is Anius, becoming poor. So that's what he says to reconcile with Gemara and Shabbos, that the Nekarmin Olam is poverty, and that's why it's specific to Tehillat Yedaim. Because that's one of the things that the Gemara and Shabbos mentions as specifically about Anius. And that would flow with the Gemara before Rava. What did Rava say? How do you explain the pasuk? Says, "Kol ba'al yishas zonah l'sofim bakesh kikar lechem." And then he has to go out and beg for bread. And then Rav Zika comes along and says, "Oh, kol mizalgel ben tehillat yedaim, nekar min olam also becomes poor." Right? Meaning that something else in the context of eating bread that also brings you to poverty. Right? So that would be in the context of the flow of the Gemara. The way Tosfos is reading it would make sense. All right, Amar Akiva Rashi Amar Rav. Mayim Rishonim Tzarich Shiyah Bia Yadav L'Mala. Mayim Akonim Tzarich Shiyah Shpila Yadav L'Mata. So whenever a person washes Mayim Rishonim, he should hold his hands upward with his fingers up. And whereas when he washes Mayim Akonim, he should wash with his hands down. Why is this? We have a bracelet that says this. I told you that she had a double mala. Why? Shemay Yitzu, I might put some parak. The Yitzu, you tell me what they had done. Because maybe they'll go beyond the parak and come back in and be even time of the time. So let's just explain. Halakhically, what goes on when you wash your diet? How does a person, as opposed to washing Nekovasa in the morning, but you do alternate spillings of the water, Shirugim, which is what the, right, the talks about Shirugim, or the postgim, the Halakha talks about Shirugim, alternate back and forth. That's because of the Ruach Ra. That's the deal with Ruach Ra. But as opposed to that, when we're dealing with washing for bread, we deal with what's called Shrach Shuma, which is Tuma. The Gachamim goes there, Tuma ala Yadayim, and they're shading the Tuma, and you have to remove that Tuma. And they told you, just like there were goes there, Tuma Yadayim, how do you remove the Tuma from Yadayim? By washing. So what do you do to wash? You pour water on the hand. So now once you poured water on the hand, the water that touches the hand also becomes Tamei, right? Because your Yadayim are shnius the Tuma, and there's exeris Gachamim that Yadayim are Metamei, liquid to be tefillah, to be reached in the tumah. So when you wash the hand the first time, because the water now absorbs the tumah from the hand. When you wash, what you do is pour a second time to remove the water, right, that was there, the tumah water, to remove it, and that will be the tefillah sedayim in the tumah. So you have to wash your hand twice. When you do washing for bread, you pour once, and then a second time immediately afterwards. But the first one is to, right, to clean the hand, cleanse the hand of the tumah. But now the water on the hand is what? Tamei. So now you have to pour a second time to remove that water that's tamei. So now what could possibly happen? Possibly could happen is that where is the hand tamei until? The hand is only tamei on a perek. And a perek, okay, we'll assume now, going to Rashi, which we're closest for in most cases, is until the wrist. Right, there is a lot of the Rishonim believe that Adaparak is only until the knuckles. That's why in Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, where there's an Yisra Kitsa, we only wash our hands up until, right, the knuckle area, Adaparak. But, assuming like Rashi, that Adaparak means until the wrist level, so we wash what we do. Now, when we wash the bread, we wash until the wrist level. So now what happens? He pours water on his hand the first time. Right, so now he's holding his hand upward, right? And what's going to happen? The water now is going to trickle down his arm. Right? Some of that water will actually trickle down his arm. Now, when he comes and pours the second water over that, right, he cleans up all the water that's left here. The water that dripped down his hand, right, is still the tamei water from the first washing that didn't get washed off in the second. Now, what happens if you put your hand down like this again? That tamei water is going to drip back down into the hand and make you tamei. So what the suggestion of the Gemara is, it might be shown, don't wash your hands if you started with it facing downward, you're fine because the water never went above the parrot. But if you have your hand up and then the water starts to drip down your wrist and then you move your wrist down, that water could drip back down into your hand and cause you problems. The suggestion of the Gemara is that wash your hands, you know, when you hold your hands upwards afterwards, after you wash, so that when the water dries, it dries out and never comes back to the wrist.
That's it.
Right, or you can do a single revius, which is right, la'alofa, a single revius would take care of it. So it's hard to imagine why a single, according to Rashi's opinion, that it's out of perek, means until the wrist, that a revius, so 3.3 ounces, 4.4 ounces, really could wash, according to the Gemara, two hands, one shot, you could wash all your hands with the revius water, doesn't make it, if you think that it's from the knuckles onward, it makes a lot more sense that a revius could cover the whole hands, or even both hands, because you're dealing with a much smaller area that you're trying to wash. But anyway, in this problem, everybody holds up their hand, like you see the Spider-Man. They hold up their hands afterwards and say, "Su yudechem kodesh," right from the pasuk, "Su yudechem," to raise your hands. But it's also a halachic reason to raise your hands. Nothing to do with the imagery of "Su yudechem kodesh," but this halachic issue that if the water drips below the parak, below your wrist, you don't want it to come back onto your hands afterwards, unless you wash it off completely or it dries. Once it's dry, there's nothing to talk about. So that's just in the Gemara. My Rishonim, keep your hands upward and not facing downward. As opposed to that, you want, by my Machronim, you're trying to remove the zuama and the stuff that's on your hands. So you want it to actually drip off. So you wash your hand like this, what's going to happen is it's going to drip back down your arm, and then it's going to be stuck there afterwards. And if you turn it off, you never really cleaned yourself. When you want to clean yourself, you hold your hand down, pour on the hand so that everything, like the water and all the zuama drips off and goes off. But my Makorim, you want to face it down. But my Rishonim, you want to keep it up. So that's the suggestion. I love the suggestion of the Gemara here, which is actually brought down in the post. Amar of Yibo, call Aokal Pakal on Eagle Yadayim, Kilokal Lechem Tamei. Whoever washes his hands and does not dry off his hands, right? Does not clean off his hands and dry, wash them off and dry them. Okay, if it eats lechem tamei, shemar yom Hashem kakol yochlu bnei Yisrael lachmom tamei. This is how bnei Yisrael eat their lechem tamei. You know, without taking the proper right precautions, the proper precautions beforehand in order to wash them and dry them off so they won't be tamei. My the ishet ish nefesh yikarat tzud. Right, and what does it mean? What does the pasuk mean when it says ish ish? one who engages with a married woman, nefesh yekara katsu will capture or captures the dear nefesh. Whoever is haughty, right? The way he's reading the pasuk is that nefesh yekara means not precious, but someone who holds it high, holds the nefesh high. Because he holds it high, katsu, he'll be captured by ishish. So I'm a Rava. Again, Rava challenges his interpretation of the puzzle that he did above. Hi, nefesh yekara, nefesh gvoha, mi bayli. Nefesh yekara does not mean gvoha, meaning haughty. Nefesh means yekara, precious. Why are you interpreting it as gvoha? Should have written gvoha if you wanted that. Both, ki tatsud, mi bayli. Then it should have written ki tatsud, right? It should have said nefesh yekara. That haughty nefesh, ki tatsud, will be captured. That's not what the puzzle says. The puzzle says tatsud will be captured. El amarava, kol abal eishin ish, apilu lamad torah. Even a person, anybody who engages with a married woman, even if he's learned Torah, he's a major, so the nefesh yikara here refers to one who learns Torah, that's the yikara here, then it's even more yakar, one who learns Torah is even a higher level, higher madrigal than mipnimim, the one who goes into the tonight of the which is the kohen gadol, which we know, right, that a kohen gadol on the aris, and you have a talmud chacham mamzer, is called that, a kohen gadol, alright, that is a amaretz, because Torah takes precedence. So this nefesh yikara, right, the nefesh yikara, the one who is steeped in Torah, tatsud, right, who eats a tzedera l'dinah shel gehenem, will be captured in gehenem, will not escape punishment. So that even though, if he's engaged with the ancient ish, even though he has limited Torah to protect him, he still will be captured by the enemy, the dinah shel gehenem, because that won't protect him. Anybody who is haughty, Tzip, he is worshipping Avodah Zarah. Tovat Hashem, called Beleib, right, that Hashem despises all those that are haughty. Do not bring a Tovat, referring to Avodah Zarah, into your house. So see, Tovat, the term Tovat is used both by Avodah Zarah and by haughtiness, right? So the two of them are now parallel. So if you're haughty, Tzilu Obeidu Avodah Chachamim. Ryokan Didea, my Rabbi Yochan himself says, over there he's quoting from his Rebbe, Yerushim Bayuchat, but he himself says, Tzilu Kofar Bi'ikar. Not only is it Avodah Zarah, as if he denies Hashem, Shnemar Beram Lubavecha, V'shachachtet Hashem Lukecha, right? And by Shetekev, it says, right, what is the person going to do? Beram Lubavecha, when things are going well, your heart is going to become high and haughty, and you will forget Hashem. So that haughtiness causes one to forget Hashem, to leave Hashem behind. So Rabbi Chama bar Chanina Amar Kilu Bal Arayot, Kol Arayot. Someone who's haughty, Zechi engaged in Arayot. Why? Tim Bracha again, Tovat Hashem Kog Beleiv. Hashem despises all those that are haughty. Tim Hatam, Kiyat Kol Tovat Ha'ot. And all these types of actions in Akrimot and Goshim, the Torah marriages, when it mentions the Arayot, that these are what the Mitzrayim and the nations that lived there before you were seeped in. These Toevot. So it calls Arayot Toevot. So you see the term Toevot is used both by haughtiness, also by Arayot, and therefore, anybody who engages in haughtiness is if he is Bakal Arayot. Ulamar Kilu Bana Bama. It's as if he builds a Bama. Shnemar. Chudumichem Mina Adam. Asher Neshama Biapo. You should pull yourself away. Move a person from Kol Asher Neshama. A person who thinks, right, his hands, his neshama is in anger, keep a meh nechshav. Why should a person, what should a person be considered with? At the end of the parak of Yishayahu Bet, over there, Yishayahu is telling the people, a person shouldn't praise himself for his kochot, because men, or kochot of Adam, are nothing, in the face of Hashem. You know, what yitaron does a person have, or what koach does a person have that will make him, allow him to be haughty, or to stand up tall? I mean, what is this? Who holds out his, right? Well, man is not considered by his strengths. So, al tikra b'meh ela b'ma. Don't read it b'meh, but rather b'ma. So, what does that mean? So, keep b'ma nechshav. Right, so anybody who holds out his neshama b'apo, meaning that he holds out his strengths, meaning that he's haughty, keep b'ma nechshav. He'll be considered like he is a b'ma. It's a b'ma b'ma. Again, similar to what we saw above, that he looked at b'ma because he doesn't recognize Hashem. Right, Hashem, a person who recognizes Hashem realizes that all his kochot come from Hashem. A person stands out there and says, my kochot and his haughty, right, is as if he's not recognizing Hashem. He's not recognizing Hashem. It's Gilu Kikim Bama. Bama is a Bhida Hashem. Right? That is a revolting, it's a going against Hashem's command, what?
Rebelling
against Hashem's command, which is bring it all to El Makom Hashem Yivchar Hashem. Bring it up to Yerushalayim. Right. Bring it up is to Eva also, but it's rebelling against Hashem because a Bama is a sign that you don't go up to the Mikdash, the place where the Shekhinah Shora, and you bring a Bama in your backyard. That's a Begidah Hashem. So to here. A person who's hoarding is Begidah Hashem. Therefore, it's Kidur Kav Bama. So my Meyad, Meyad Lo Yinakeh. Right. So what is it that the Gemara is going back to the Pasuk above, right? What? Right, Kol Gvei Lev. Right, so we've, where's the Torah, Hashem Kol Gvei Lev? Yad Liyad Lo Yinakeh. Right, that one, hand to hand, he will not be clean. Amar Rav Kol Abal Eish Ish, Afil Yitneo Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shemayim Ba'arex, Kavim Avinu, a person who comes to an Eish Ish, even if he has what? Even if Hashem has given him control over him, let the heavens and earth, like Avra Avinu, Tiftei Be'aruti Yadila Ish, Hadidil Hashem, Kel Elyon, Kunish Shemayim Ba'arex, that's what Malki Tzedek says to Avra Avinu, raise my hand up to Hashem, who is Kunesh Shemayim Ba'aretz, meaning they gave over the Shemayim Ba'aretz to Abraham. Lo Yinakeh Min Yinah Shel Gehenem, will not be clean from the din of Gehenem. Kashalu Debei Rabbi Shiloh, Hai the Yad, Lo Yinakeh. Right, it doesn't say Yad the Yad, Lo Yinakeh. It should have said Yadai, right? It should have said in plural. Because over here we're saying Kunesh Shemayim Ba'aretz, and it says Haramiti Yad, Haroti Yadi. Right, it doesn't say Yad, but Yadi. So how can you compare it to the case of Malki Tzedek, right, rather than the case of Yad Liyad, it's not a good comparison. Salam Arab Debate Rabbi Shila, I feel like keep the Torah Moshe Rabbeinu. No. So even someone who accepted the Torah like Moshe Rabbeinu, Tiv Bein Mimino, Ishtat Lamo. Right? Mimino implying Yad, the hand. The hand is the right hand. Lo Yinakeh Midinak Shel Ganem. He will not be cleared or cleansed of the Din of Ganem. So that person, this Yad means even the Gol Gilei Leib, Toi Vashem, Kol Gilei Vashem despises all Gilei Leib, even in the face of Yad Liyad, even in the face of someone who is as great as Moshe Rabbeinu except the Torah, as great as Avraham Avinu, Lo Yinakeh. If he does, if he has a Gilei Leib, he will not get out of the Din HaShel Gehenem. Alright, Kasha Lei, the Rabbi Yochanan, Hai Yad Liyad, Yad Miyad. That doesn't say Yad Liyad giving from one hand to the other. Yad Miyad, that's accepting from the hand of Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu got the Torah of Miyad Hashem, right? Not Liyad Hashem, he didn't give it to Hashem. So you buy the Lord Rabbi Yochanan, Afilu Asat Stakab Seter. Even a person who gives Stakab Seter, which is Yad Liyad, from one hand to the other hand. Yechdiv, Matan Beseter, Yichbe'ah, or Yichabe'ah, that what? The giving of a gift in private, meaning giving Stakab, will cover over that anger of Hashem, Lo Yinakeh Migdei Hashem. Even though in general, Stakah protects the person from the anger of Hashem, in the face of Beilev, in the face of hardiness, it will not protect him from the Dinah Shel Gehenem.